This will be the first time for you teaching. This is the first time that Pastor Cesar has taught in English, okay? He speaks English good. He speaks it fine. But teaching the Bible is a totally different thing from having a conversation. It's a different kind of English, okay? So we're going to pray that God just gives him supernatural ability to speak English, or that God gives us the gift of interpretation, okay? One of the two, so that we can understand what's going on. And then if he needs a little bit of help, we got some folks here that can step up and kind of help with that. And then if you want me to, I know you had said something about reading the verses in English. If you want, I can read verses in English if you want me to do that, okay? I mean, I'm not doing anything else tonight, you know, I mean, all right. Let me pray, and then we'll welcome Pastor Cesar up, Lord. Father, we just thank you, God, for this night, for our opportunity, Lord, to come together, to worship, Lord, to pray together, to gather together, to hear your word together, Lord, to hear what you have done and what you are doing through Pastor Cesar's life, through the church there in his family, Lord. God, we do pray for those, Lord, that are in need of a touch from you tonight, even before he comes up to speak to us, Lord, for Charlie, who's at home right now in immense pain, Lord, just pray that you would have your hand of healing upon him, Lord. Father, your word says that it's by your stripes, the stripes of Jesus, our Savior, that we can be healed, Lord. And we just pray that you would bring healing upon Charlie, that you would ease that pain, Lord. And more than ease the pain, that you would remove the very source of the pain. Lord, we pray for those that are in the hospital right now, Lord, those very sick right now, that your hand would be upon them and your spirit would be upon them, Lord, that they would hear a word from you, even in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their sickness, Lord. God, we pray that as Pastor Cesar comes up to teach tonight, that your spirit falls upon him, Lord, in a fresh way, in a powerful way, that you give him, God, as we've been looking on Sunday mornings in the book of Acts, that you would give him dunamis, Lord, power and ability, Lord, to bear witness to you and what you've done in his life and are doing, God, in his life and in the lives of the people there in Pucallpa, Lord. Father, we pray that your spirit would be upon us, that we would hear a word from you, our ears would be open to a word from your spirit, that our hearts, God, would be willing to receive from you, and that we would be changed, Lord, as a result of our time together tonight. So we pray, God, just for your spirit upon this place, upon us, upon each of us, Lord, that we hear, that you do a work in us, that you allow Pastor Cesar to speak, Lord, and just that it is a beautiful time, Lord, as we gather together in your name, gather together in your love, Lord, and desire for you to speak to us in this place tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you and we ask it all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you welcome my friend, Pastor Cesar?
No,
I'm just going to read it and get out of here. I'm just going to read it and leave, and then you're going to teach. I'm going to read it once, and I'm walking away.
I had a friend, a missionary in Pucallpa at the time, and he was with us for 3 months. At the end of that time, I said, okay, before you leave, you have 3 months here in Pucallpa practicing your Spanish or teach to the church. And he did it. And his teaching was for 10 minutes. So I say, come on, 10 minutes? You have 3 months here in Pucallpa practicing your Spanish and you are going to teach 10 minutes? So I feel the same. I think I will do the same tonight. Oh, thank you. Thank you for making me feel in home. Yeah. In fact, last night I cried. Thank you for your love, you know. Even it's great for me about the Lord. Even we even as we don't have the same culture, the same language, even we don't know. You know, it's the first time that you are seeing me and I'm seeing to you. So, but we feel love for each other, you know, because it's the love of God in our hearts. We are His people. Okay, so as Pastor Mike says, it's my first time. I'm trying to teach in English, but it's not really a teaching. But what I want to do is to share with you, and maybe encourage to you about how the Lord encouraged to me about His word too. So please, if you can go with me to the book of Judges, chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Please, my prayer is that when I speak, before the words go to your ears, the Holy Spirit correct me to me. So I'm talking and praying at the same time. Chapter 6, verse 11 to 12.
Real quick so I can read. There we go. Okay, verses 11 and 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Please. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizurite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor."
Thank you. Hmm? You know that many times we identify with some people in the Bible, you know, some stories. So I identify too much with this guy, was Gideon. You know, my story is similar to his story at the time. You know, it says that one day the angel of the Lord came and appeared to him, you know. And I know that it's similar for everybody, because one day the Lord appears in our lives. But for some of us, one day God appears to our lives in a special way or special time. So it was happening with me. I met Jesus when I was 13 years old. And I look at it and say, I want to do this for my whole life is music. For sure, I started at when I was 13 years old, seated in that place, making noise at the church, you know. So, and I say, oh, this is my place. I will be my whole life doing music and worshiping to the Lord and praise to the Lord. Yeah, you know, but one day, God talked to my heart to do something different. I have never thing about to be a pastor, to be here and talking to the congregation. You know, one day I was working with my pastor at the church, building some classroom for children, and we were talking, and he told me, "Okay, hey, sister, did you consider to be involved in the ministry as a pastor?" I said, "No way, no." I pray for you. I don't want to be in that. No, you know. But so, when I was a youth leader in the church, one day, the pastor said to me, "Hey, let's go to a conference in Chile." I say, "In Chile? It sounds good, but you know, I don't have nothing to do that. I don't have my passport. I was a young man, so I think I will not go. I want, but I can't." Okay, so 1 week before that trip, his wife came to my house. I say, "Hey, you're going to the conference." I say, "No, I have nothing." "Okay, let's go to get your passport and your, you know, the transport, you know, everything you need." So in 1 week, God gave me everything that I needed to go. So when I went to Chile, God started to speak to my heart about to start a new Bible study. So I know what does it mean You know, we are Calvary Chapel churches, and the most of the Calvary Chapel churches started as a simple Bible study in home. So I say, I know what's happening at the end. I say, no. So God spoke to my heart during the whole conference, the last day in the conference. God was telling me, okay, this. And what I identify with Gideon in this part of his story. You know what the Lord says to Gideon in verse 12? Can you read, please, again, Mike?
Verse 12?
Verse 12.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor."
Mighty man of... But what is Gideon doing? You know, and God said, "Hey, Almighty man, oh mighty man," you know. And you know, it's amazing because God looks in us what we can see, you know. But it doesn't mean that you are the champion. You are no. It's not about that, because it is because God is not looking what we are. But he's looking what he can do through us. It's not our capacity or ability. It's his power in us. You know, and he is looking that, what he is going to do with us at the end. You know, when I was at the conference, if somebody came to me and said, "Hey, hello, Pastor. Hey, what? Pastor? Me?" Hey, no. You know what does it mean to be a pastor? To take care about another people? Hey, I can't take care about myself even, you know? So, and when I was in the conference, God spoke to my heart. And the last day, God told me, okay, open it, Bible study. But I say, I can't. I don't have the capacity, the ability, even... I scared to be in front talking to the people, you know? And now I can do twice a week. This, I'm doing that. But now I'm scared too again. Yeah. So, you know, in our church we had a service tonight too. So our youth pastor is teaching, and he called to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm scared." I said, "Me too. Pray each week." I pray for you, or you pray for me, please. Okay, so that's what I got. God's looking in our lives, not what I am, or we are. You know, yeah, but for sure, yeah. Gideon was scared, and I'm scared, and for sure, you are scared for many things in your life. You know, every day we face many things that we don't know how to do, and even take responsibilities. We started the church in January in 2007. My first son had born in 2006 in December. So, and I got married in 2005. Okay, you know. So one friend told me, okay, the two first years in the marriage is hard. The two first years with the children, with the child, is hard. And the two first years starting a ministry is hard. You put the three together. What are you thinking about? You know? So it was hard. But again, it's not what we can do. It's what can God does through us, you know? And look what said verse 13.
And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian."
You know, the Lord, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, and what he said? What did he say? Oh, God, you know, he said, hey, where are his miracles? You know? I don't know what happened with this guy. You know, but you can imagine that you're on your bed at midnight and you listen your name, and when you open your eyes, you see an angel stand in front of you. Okay, it's a miracle. And he say, "Ah, oh, where is the miracle? Hey, you are talking to an angel." But it's the same with us, you know. We see miracles from God every day, all the time. But sometimes we say, "God, are you doing something? Are you here? Are you listening to me? Where are you?" You know? Many people are asking now in the world, where are the miracles of the God, of the Lord, you know? But you know, when you talk to something and this person accepted Jesus, is the most miraculous thing that it's happening. But we say, ah, yeah. He just converted. The Bible says in heaven there's a party. The angels are dancing, and we say, oh, yeah, he met Jesus. You know? And we are looking for new miracles. But God is doing that. When I started the ministry with my wife, and my oldest son was about 2 years, he got sick, really, really sick. He eats nothing. He drinks nothing for 15 days. My wife and I was thinking, it's not good. We went to the doctors, but the treatments were not working. Nothing was happening with him, but he was worse and worse. And many people around us, you know, I'm from the jungle. And the people in the jungle, they think crazy things, you know. Oh, this is dad, and this is dad. Okay, you know, yeah, he doesn't need a doctor. He needs go to the, you know, the shaman in the jungle. Yeah, because some people, maybe he makes, you know, I don't know how to say when you, hechizo, we say hechizo, brujería. And what was the word in English, please? Yeah, like that. So, but yeah, which, okay, yeah, that. So, I said, no, I need to trust in Jesus, in the Lord. So, at that time, we started to teach in the church the book of Daniel. And how Daniel and his friends say, I don't want to contaminate with the food of the king. And get put this in our heart, in my heart and my wife's heart. Don't be contaminated with that. Because he was, but he was suffering. You know, for 1 week, it's what's incredible. For 1 week, he was only fed by Coke. When the doctor tell us, okay, he is not eating, he is not drinking, he's drinking nothing, eating nothing. So, even milk. So the doctor says, okay, we are going to try with Coke. So he was with Coke for 1 week. But one day, some people in my family came and say, okay, we need to stop that. I will take to him, I will bring to the... Yeah, you know, the shaman. I said, no, I'm the father. So she told me, okay, but he's going to die. And if he dies, it could be your responsibility. You know, those words beat my heart. That night, I couldn't sleep during the whole night. looking to my son. And he started to cry and to pray and say, Lord, all that we are doing is to be faithful to you, to trust in you. But I can't stop to think about to lose my son. You gave me my son. I know that you love to him even more than me. But if he's going to die, it's not my responsibility, it's yours. It's in your hands. Next day, I went to work in the morning. When I came back home, my wife was at the door of the house. When she looked to me, she started to cry. And she told me, our baby. So you know, my mind, my babies die. It's my responsibility. So she told me, our baby is eating again. Wow. Yeah. It was, you know, amazing. And I know, I'm sure that you have miracles in your lives too. But sometimes we are looking anew, as Gideon says, where are the miracles? No. What is happening? Okay. He says, yeah, look, Lord, where we are, how we are. Hey, what is happening with Israel? Why Israel is in that condition? Disobedience. You know, many times we suffer the consequences of our disobedience to God. I said, but look, God, yeah, I know. Many times God let us, you know, the Bible says we're going to pass with Psalm 23, it says, we go by the, I don't know what it says in English, with the path of death or something that, yeah, okay, you know, so sometimes we are going to pass with bad times, bad things, but many of us, our responsibility, our disobedience, you know, God says no. I say, but I can't do it. No. And Gideon says, where are the miracles? But look at verse 15. Please, Mike, tell me when I have 10 minutes.
Verse 15.
15.
And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, mm-hmm. and I am the least in my father's house.
You know, he say, okay, how can I do that? How can I do that? I say the same to the Lord. How can I do that? How can I be a pastor? I can imagine that to Gideon talking to God, you know, in this part. And I imagine to Gideon say, hey, Lord, I know you are the God creator of all the world, but maybe you forget something. I want to remember something. Okay? In the world, there are many nations, many countries. My country is the most insignificant country in the world. You know? But my nation is conformed, you know, it's by how's it, tribus, tribes, okay, yeah, and what do you know? My tribe is the most insignificant of the tribes of Israel, but each tribe is formed by families, and my family is the most insignificant family in my tribe, but my father and my mom, they have children. The most insignificant boy in the family? Yes, I am. So I am the most insignificant people of the most insignificant family, of the most insignificant tribe, of the most insignificant nation in the whole world. You know? So, and he was thinking that, oh, I'm not qualified. You know? I'm nothing. But God says, it's what I am looking for. And many times we think that, okay, I can do nothing. You know? I am not a smart people. I don't have talent. I don't have capacity. What Moses says? I can speak. You know? And I say to God this one day, Lord, I can speak. I'm speaking in English now. God is gracious, you know? And he says, God, I can do it. I don't know what God is telling to you, but for sure, God is calling to you to be involved in his work. Because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, the pastors, the apostles, the teachers, our responsibility is equipped to you, because the word of God is yours. Not just the pastor, not just the elders or the worship team, you know. It's yours. So if God is calling to you, okay, if you say no, welcome. I can do nothing. I will see you one day in Pucallpa teaching. And please jump to the verse 36 to 38.
Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water.
The last day in that conference, when God continued speaking to me about it, to start a Bible study, I say, okay, God, if you want, my requirements are here. Can you imagine that? Telling to God that? Okay, I find that the Gideon story, say, what happened with you? But then I say, what happened with me? To seek my requirements? And you know, God being silent. Okay, finish. 3 years after that, we go again to a conference in Chile. Literally, when I crossed the border between Peru and Chile, God started to talk to my heart again about the same thing. So I said, God, you remember what we talked about that? Do you remember my requirements? And you know what? In his grace, he told me, number one, accomplish. Number two, accomplish. Number three, number four, number five. Oh, it's Gideon. Oh, yeah, I know. But, please, let me know. Let me be sure. Okay, okay. But what's he had on Gideon? I'm sorry, in 39.
Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please, let me test just once more with the fleece. Please, let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew.
In the same way. Oh, number one accomplished, number two accomplished. Okay, don't be angry, God. One more thing. Okay, God was putting in my heart to start a Bible study in a part of the city, a district called Yarinacocha. And I say to God, hey, God, I don't live there. I don't have friends there. I have nothing there. Okay. Yeah, I understand. I will go. When you open a place, I say, okay, I have 6 months, 1 year more to continue playing my drums and the charge, you know. Next week, Dad, one friend called to me, a musician too. And he said, he told me, okay, hey, Cesar, are you free? Because, you know, we need a musician in the band for even a wedding we have. So please, can you help us? So I say, yeah, okay, I can go to play. So I start to go to his house 3 times a week to practice. One night, I arrived very early. So his wife say to me, you want a coffee? I say, okay, okay. So we start to drink coffee and start to talk about me, about the church, about the plans. So I told them that story about what God is putting in my heart. So she told me, okay, so what are you waiting to start? And I say, it not depends on me. I say, yes. Don't tell to me. Tell to God, you know. I said, when you open a place. And she told me, what about our house? I said, God said me, Yarinacocha. No Pucallpa. Pucallpa is the other part of the city. No Pucallpa, Yarinacocha. And he and she told me, we are in Yarinacocha. You know? And yeah, in fact, the church is in the border. This part of the street is Pucallpa, and this part of the street is Yarinacocha. We are in Yarinacocha. I say, okay, God, I understand. And we started 14 years ago an adventure of faith. And it was not easy. I think the same for you. But you know, it was the best. 4 years ago, my wife and me, we decided to be involved in the ministry full time. We were working. 1 year me, another year my wife, but it was really hard for us. I was working as a teacher in high school in Pucallpa for 6 years. In the fourth year, I say to God, okay, yeah, okay, good. This is my last year teaching in that school. At the end of the year, I will go to the principal office and I will resign to this job, okay? But when that time comes, I say, next year, you know, we need to pay the bills and this and the house and one more year. So the sixth year, I say the same to the Lord. This is the last. When the end of the year comes, I was going to the principal office and I started to think again, oh, maybe one more year to build. And God spoke to my heart and he told me clearly, how do you want that I accomplish my promise to you if you don't want to accomplish your promise to me? I say, okay, God. So we decided to be a full-time working at the church. And he was faithful every single day in our lives. We have a beautiful family. I want to share some pictures with you, please, so you can know about the church. This is our church of services, our sanctuary. Our youth group, Saturdays night. We have about 25 teenagers coming each Saturday to church. Prayer meeting. The women. And our children ministry or Sunday school. They are outside of the property because we don't have classrooms for them. We had that's my family. One picture before that, we had a activity for children each December at the end of the year. We called this the Jesus party, and we try to invite to the children of our community to come to have to sing, to play games, and to get candies and the last we had about 180 children in the church. Those years were really hard because, when this thing about the virus start in the whole world, we just returning from a mission trip in the jungle too. So we close everything for about 3 months. When we go to the church again with my wife, we start to cry because nobody was living in the church. And everything was, dirty, crazy, and we start to pray with my wife, Lord, we need somebody, some family living here. A few months after that, God moved to us to live in the property of the church. He provided to build a new house in the property, so we reopened the church. Before that, the pandemic, we had a small church about 25, 28 people. Now we are almost 50 coming each week. Our children ministry, when we reopened the church, we had 10 children coming. Now we are about 30 children coming each Sunday. We had a Sunday school in our house at the beginning because, 10 children. But can you imagine 30 children in a house? Wow. So we needed to put them outside of the property because we have two big trees. They have shade. We set up all the staff, the tables and that. And it's our mainly need now to have classroom for them. Please keep us in your prayer, because we know that God is going to be faithful with us. One of the things that I learned in Calvary Chapel, and for sure to you too, when God guides, God provides. So we know that. So thank you for this time, for lend me the opportunity to be here. I was not thinking about to teach, but to share to you that what God puts in my heart, and to share with you and say thank you, because I know that you are praying for us. Even you are supporting us, and you love us, and you take care about us, even when we are far away. I know that you were really excited to go on a mission trip to Pucallpa. And for sure, we are waiting for you. We are praying for you. Maybe God can open doors for you to go, or maybe for us to come. But, it's what God wants to do. It's not about us. It's about Him. Thank you very much. Keep us in your prayers. Oh, my wife and my kids. Okay. My wife's name is Bridget. She is 38. My oldest son is Nicholas. He is going to be 15 next month. The second one is a girl, is Ivana. She is 12. And the youngest is a boy too. You know, boy, girl, boy, I will rest in the future. You know? So the youngest is Hasiel, and he is 5 years. Yeah, and yeah. They are really excited to have the dad here sharing with you too. They are praying for me, and for sure they are, I don't know if they are following the by Facebook now. So probably. Okay, so thank you very much one time.
We had this interesting conversation when we were driving around. We were showing him kind of the community and all of those sort of things, and he said something to me that I love the heart of it, but it's also one of those things that as an American you go, wait a minute, what? He said, well, I know you're praying about coming and doing another mission trip with us, but maybe we should do a mission trip here for you. And that's such a weird concept for an American, right? Like, well, we export the gospel. What are you doing? What do you mean you're going to come here, right? But it gives us a good idea of not just where we're at, but gives a good heart of you know, a good picture of where Pastor Cesar's heart is. You know, just saying like there's a bunch of people that you know we could reach if we came here. You know. It's tremendous. Now, I'm going to ask you also as you're praying, you know, different nations are dealing with the whole COVID thing different ways. And in South America, we heard at the last week when we were at the pastor's conference, a pastor from Chile was saying that, and then Cesar was telling me now the same in Peru, they're trying to make laws that say if you're not vaccinated, you're not allowed to be in an enclosed space where there's other people. So no going to the store, no going to church, no going anywhere where there's other people indoors if you haven't been vaccinated. That's what Peru's doing, that's what Chile's doing, some other places. Can you show the picture of the church again? Are you able to just find the let's see. Okay, stop there. Do you see right there? Do you see that? So when I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" You know, like, what are you going to? You guys aren't Americans. You don't have the First Amendment. You can't just go like, "Hey, we have the First Amendment. Get out of here." You know, we're practicing our religion. He said, "Well, it went too fast." If you look at that picture again, can you pull it up? Okay, see all that daylight? That's not a window. You understand? There's not walls. The walls don't go all the way up. So I said, well, what are you going to do when they say you can't have church? Like, people that aren't vaccinated can't come to church. He said, we don't have walls. So be praying, man. Be praying, because that's what he's personally up against, but that's what a lot of our brothers are up against throughout, you know, various Central South American countries, is more challenges for the gospel. It's not just here. It's not just Canada. It's not just, you know, North America. The challenge for the gospel is very real everywhere. And I would suggest to you the same thing I have suggested to you for some time now, and that's because the days are far shorter than we think. It is short. The opposition to the gospel is going to be strong. The opposition to the gospel is going to be, you know, gnarly. And we have to be a people that are praying for one another, ready to step up and love one another well and assist one another. But we have to be a people who are going to love Jesus more than we love the fear of men or the accolades of men or any other thing. The days are short, you know. And the truth is, man, I hope we can go down and do a trip down there, and I hope they can come up here. But the Lord might come back before any of that's even a possibility. We have to live faithfully before the Lord, and we have to live by faith. You know, the thing is sometimes here in America we're so spoiled, and I'm not, but just kind of the takeaway for me listening to Pastor Cesar, we get so spoiled by all the stuff that we forget the necessity of just prayer. it's a whole lot easier to just get distracted, you know, like, man, I'm having a rough day. I'm just going to watch some stuff on my phone. I mean, we just kind of think that way now, instead of going like, no, Lord, I need you to do something in my life. And the other takeaway for me listening is God's called you guys to something, man. Every single one of you has a unique calling from God on your life. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do? Because, like you said, like, my job in the pulpit is to equip you, the saints, to do the work of ministry. It's not my job to do your job. Like, that's your calling. That's not my calling. It's not the calling of all the pastors here. Everybody has a calling. Every single one of us has a unique calling. If the days are that short, what are we doing with what God's called us to do? He's equipped us by his Spirit. He's called us by his grace. And he'll send us out in his power. But what are we doing with it, man? It's a good question to chew on, you know? Good question to chew on. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up. And then if you have just individual questions you want to ask Pastor Cesar about, go after we pray, go ask him. I'm sure he'll take the time to visit and answer your questions or whatever. If you got a word of encouragement for him, give him that as well. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for our friend Pastor Cesar, Lord, for the things that you have done in his life and that you are doing in his life and the life of his family and the life of the church there, Lord. God, would you continue to provide for their needs, for the needs of their home, for the needs of the ministry, Lord, for the needs of the people in that area where they are ministering, Lord. God, would you have your hand upon him, Lord, as things even change, just governmentally, as things change, and there's new rules to abide by, rules that would force a pastor to say either they're going to follow you or they're going to follow men, and following men would be to turn people away from the church. Lord, would you strengthen him, give him wisdom? Would you make him wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, Lord, in those times, God? Would you continue to bring folks around him to lift up his hands, Lord, to be able to minister? God, thank you for the two assisting the work there as assistant pastors in various forms, Lord. Would you watch over them? Protect them and their families, Lord. But God, would you continue the work within your people here, your people there, your people everywhere, Lord. Would you continue the good work which you've begun, Lord? Would you cause us to be faithful to you until you return for us, Lord? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our time tonight, for our brother. And God, thank you for the new chairs that are a little more comfortable than the last chairs, Lord. Thank you for the folks up at Calvary Aurora, Lord, just giving us that as well, Lord. And would you continue to bless them? But just go before us this night, Lord. We thank you and love you and ask you for these things in Jesus' name.